Porterfield.com in Denton, Texas. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. Hi, ma'am.
I saw some stuff on Facebook about weather in Florida this week. Are you guys having some unusual weather?
Well, yes, ma'am. We are. Yes, we've had some thunder boomers here this afternoon. I can tell you what.
All my Facebook friends in Florida were posting about the weather. So I was just curious what was going on down there.
Yeah, we've had some rumble tumbles here this afternoon. So
okay, we're just doing fine here. We started off with a nice gray foggy day, and it's a nice, pleasant, sunny afternoon. And we've been working outside. Some of us, me and Dave, have been working on the spell kit inventory project. I won't even begin to tell people what that's all about, but we finally have admitted defeat in the matter of pulling things off the shelf to assemble the spell kit, and we're going to set up a whole nother, I guess you would call it, production line or scheme or project just to make spell kits all on their own. Because it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, you open up a spell kit and break it out and give the pieces to a customer, or you run around the shelves looking for pieces that go into the spell kit. So we've assigned every spell kit and every honey jar a large banker's box, if you all know what that is, a large storage box. And we are packing each banker's box with the fixings for between 12 and 24 of each spell kit. And the first one that we managed to finish was Boss Fix. And in 3 days, half of the 24 were already gone off the shelves. So we know we're doing the right thing, but we got to speed up. Now, just to remind people, and I mentioned this before, we are looking for some shop workers. We lost a couple of people in the shuffle over the spring and summer. And this is a retail store. We are always hiring, just like a retail store normally would. And we are looking for people with office skills, and we're also looking for people with craft skills. And by craft skills, I mean either making magic products or people who know how to cook, sew, embroider, make things, crafters, you know, how to fold a piece of paper and have it come out square, that kind of thing. It's hard to train people as it is on how to make a magical product, but if you have to start with how to fold a paper square, you got a problem, you know. So we're looking for people with some craft skills, And we're also looking for people with some office skills, different job in the place, and that would be for Macintosh database management. And as always, anybody who wants to come help, I can pitch you a few bucks. If you're local, graduated from my course or are taking my course and think, hey, I'd like to spend a weekend up in lovely Forestville, California, there is an Airbnb site in Forestville that often comes open, and maybe a couple of them. Or you could get a place up in Santa Rosa if you want to live out in that horrible place. But in any case, anybody who wants to come up for a weekend and pitch in, I'll pay you. If you've been a course student or have graduated from my course, if you're a course student who has not graduated, be prepared to be unmercifully chided until you do graduate. All right. I mean, I'll make you do it right there on the spot. Okay. So what we're looking for is people with some skills, some talent, some interest in magic, temporary, permanent, you name it. We need it. We're not looking for volunteers who love us and feel sorry for us, because we will pay. But we just need some people who can pitch themselves into the fray here for a minute. All right. Well, that's it for me. I guess the only other news, and I guess some of you all have heard it, is our beautiful dog Sophie passed away. And
no.
Yeah, it's a...
So sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a big loss for us, and we're still grieving it. She was a lovely dog. She lived to be 12 and three-fourths years old, Portuguese water dog, black, curly, little white spots on her front, and just a lovely, lovely dog, and we miss her already. And we don't know what the shop will be like without her, because she was a greeter and a guarder, and she also was a product demonstrator. Often people would pet her on the head. You know, they'd be making some sort of like fast look oil, and she'd come up and they'd pet her on the head, and so she'd be demonstrating fast mm-hmm. look oil, you know.
And the handkerchiefs that she would wear.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she always had different little product demonstrations going on. And she was a good girl. She was a really obedient dog and a very gentle dog. And I was very pleased when we announced in Facebook that she had passed. A lot of people commented, and the comment about her that was most often made was that she was sweet. I think that was her general temperament, was sweet mm-hmm. and gentle. Very interested in food. That was her hobby. But sweetness was her personality. And she also was, I would say she was proud of her collection of toys. And she was also very proud of her fur. When her fur was groomed and she was all spiffed up, she would pick up a toy in her mouth and parade around and show off her collection of toys and show off her beautiful hairdos. She liked that. That was a part of her enjoyment of life. So we'll miss her a lot. All right. Well, that is all the news from here. The good as well as the sad. And how about you, Conjurman Ollie? What have you been up to?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I've been quite busy. I'm very sorry to hear of Sophie. Thanks. I remember how excited he was at the road opening ceremony last year that I performed, and how memorable she made it. Because as we were singing and clapping, she would bark.
That's right.
It was quite fantastic. So I'm very sorry to hear of her loss. I also want to bring up what happened in South Carolina with the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Yes.
Just to remind everyone to keep the congregants in your thoughts and your prayers, and the community needs spiritual workers and prayer warriors more than ever at a time like this, where people who welcome someone into their church, that person turns out to be a snake in the grass and ends up killing people at prayer. So the community is definitely wounded, and the community is definitely hurt, and racial violence continues to be a serious problem in the United States. So we as conjure workers, those of us who are working in an African-American tradition, really should pay attention to moments like this. Keep the situation in your prayers, your altars, your candles. So I personally have been quite busy with that since I found out. So it's been a few days of dealing with some tough emotions, but also working for justice, working for peace, working for enlightenment there. On a brighter note, you know, just so we don't end this in a very dark place, in Nina Simone's documentary, anyone who knows me knows I'm a big, big Nina Simone fan. Absolutely mm-hmm. love her. Nina Simone's documentary is coming out shortly, so if people are interested, definitely check it out. It's called What Happened, Miss Simone, and it's going to be a really, really cool documentary that's based on archival interviews of her. Absolutely, you know, looks stunning. So I definitely recommend people check that out. And that's all I have to say. So a roundup of news. And happy Father's Day to everyone.
Oh, yes. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. And I guess that's about our cue to bring in our resident father and grandfather.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Professor Porterfield.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Very happy to be here, as always.
Yes, and I guess of the four of us, if we count Nagashiva, and if we count Miss Tammy Lee as our announcer, you're the only father here. So you get
mm-hmm.
all the Father's Day greetings.
Well, thank you. I am a father of two and grandfather of two.
Yeah.
And I wanted to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers and the grandfathers and the uncles and the mothers and the aunts and everyone who's doing that job of raising children,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably the most important job any of us can do, is to bring up the next generation correctly. And so happy Father's Day to everyone, and happy solstice to everyone, because today is
yeah.
the solstice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
well, solstice is a whole nother happy, and I'm always happy to celebrate that, too.
And I wanted to offer you my condolences on Sophie's passing.
Yeah.
And she was a wonderful friend and companion.
Yeah.
And otherwise, today we are sitting in Texas with very, very loud thunderstorms. So you might hear a burst of thunder every so often, and that's me. So there you go.
Yeah, you get more thunder than anybody else. I mean, you just, we're always around you and your thunder. It's kind of funny. Well, I mean, you know, it's just interesting.
Good time to collect storm water.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Right. That's good. All right. Well, let's get down to our topic. Okay, now this is, I'm going to introduce it as I always do. Our topic is conjure lamps. And or more properly, lamps in conjure, or whatever you want to call them. If you have a copy of The Black Folder, and if you don't, you ought to get one. That is a book, $12 worth of amazing material. It's just it's a scrapbook of 20 years worth of information about hoodoo, handed out in personal communications through workshops and in our shop. It is not on one subject. It's on a bunch of subjects. But there are two articles on lamps and conjure in that black folder, one by our own dear Professor Porterfield and one by the late, great Dr. E. Eddie Gutierrez, who also taught a workshop on what he referred to as rustic oil lamps.
That was fantastic.
Now, Charles, in his usual professorial way, gave the whole history of every type of fuel ever used to fuel a lamp from ancient times to the present, including every kind of shape of lamp and burner. And Eddie, in his very pragmatic way, just said, cut this thing here, put this little slice there, now you made one.
Yep.
And two Capricorns, two approaches to lamps. So if you don't have the black folder, do check it out. It'll give you so much information. Now, we're going to go on beyond what's in those two flyers that are reprinted in the black folder. So let me introduce Professor Porterfield and take it away. You tell us what you want to say about lamps and their use in hoodoo.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kat. And Ms. Kat is absolutely correct. Those are both in the black folder, and if you have it with you, you can just zip right over to page 24 and 27 and enjoy that while you're listening to the show. And Conjureman Ali brought up an important issue earlier about the massacre, let's call it what it is, that happened at Mother Emanuel this week. And on this week's Now You Know show, I put a call out to basically say, let us as spiritual workers gather together and do something about this. And so knowing I was going to be on the show, I said, let's talk about Conjurelance. And there's a reason behind that. The reason behind that is because I wanted to talk about Conjurelance because this is some work that we could talk about, we could give out, that could be done collectively. And in fact, our own good friend Candelo Cambisa recently started a Conjurelance for the community, and it was a road opener lamp, road opener and protection lamp, in which he collected names, anyone who wanted to be put into the lamp, he collected their names, you had to send your name to him, you could send it to him on Facebook or email or what have you, and he wrote out all those names and added that to that Conjurelance. And so I thought this would be a good topic for us to discuss because we can do that exact same work in regards to what happened at Mother Emanuel Church this week. We can gather together. And so that then brings us to the topic of, what do you mean adding names to a lamp, Professor? Well, a lot of us are very familiar with candle work in hoodoo and conjure, and some of us very good at it, but down by the wayside, kind of on a little path that's not quite lost, but it's a little bit overgrown, are oil lamps, which of course predated candles by centuries. And these have had a, not only functionality to them, but also a magical component to them. And I think we can all think back as children, you know, we all heard the story about Aladdin's magic lamp. And of course, he rubs the lamp and the djinn comes out of the lamp, where it's, I would assume, been trapped, perhaps by Solomon himself, and grants him the wishes. And so there is this idea that lamps have a magic to them. And that's easy to understand because they allowed humanity to start carrying light in a safer way. Obviously, you can carry a torch around, but if any of you have ever seen or dealt with a torch, you know that torches sputter and they drop and they give off sparks. It's, you're carrying around a burning brand, man, you know. How safe is it to walk around your house with a burning stick? And so the advent of lamps allowed us to start taking light and some warmth from place to place, and that allowed us to start doing all of those things that helped humanity progress, to study, to read, to have time to craft, to sew, to do things once light was gone. And you didn't have to have this central fire in your house with all the soot and all of that. So what does that have to do with conjure? What that has to do with conjure is that almost everything that you do with a candle, you can do with an oil lamp. Meaning, people say, well, okay, wait a minute, I dress my candles. I dress my candles with powders and oils and roots and curios. Well, you can do the exact same thing. And how would you do that? Well, what you would do is, in the vessel or the bell, or more properly called the font of a lamp, and that's the big bottom round part of the lamp that you put the oil into, you can add to that font your powders, your oils, your herbs. Now, obviously, you're not going to add too many conjure oils because it's going to be of a different type of oil, and you don't want to drown your lamp. You could add botanical and mineral and zoological curios into there. You can add petition papers in there. Well, Professor Porterfield, I like to pin things to my candles. I like to pin people's names to my candles. Well, you can, if you so wish, pin petition papers or names to the bottom of the wick. Now, this isn't going to be the top of the wick, which is going to be burning. This is going to be the bottom of the wick. It's going to be in the oil. And you can pin your names there. You can do the safety pin, straight pin. But more importantly, you can set that burning lamp on any sort of petition paper or any sort of petitions that you have created. And I like to say it's like putting a hen, because this is what I was told, it's like putting a hen upon her eggs. You know, because that lamp's just going to burn. And it doesn't burn quite as dramatically as a candle does, you know? It's not quite as, it has a different kind of loveliness of light.
but it is lovely in its own way. But it's long and it's slow and it's ongoing. And if you become skillful enough, and I know absolutely that Miss Catherine is Miss Skillful, and I am, you can learn to even unscrew that little burner and lift it out so it keeps burning and replace oil so that that lamp just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. And so instead of a 9-day candle, what about a 60-day lamp?
Mm-hmm.
Or a 120-day lamp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You keep burning, goes on and on and on and on. And, of course, we do have that situation where because of the price of petroleum, which is elevated or taken down or shaken around by military endeavors and other things going on in the world, 9-day candle is not a 9-day candle anymore sometimes.
That's right. That's right. There is no 9-day candles hardly anymore. They're all made cheaper.
That's right. But if you watch your oil in your lamp, you can burn it for 9 days.
That's right.
Sure. No problem. I think one of the reasons that more people don't use these lamps, because here in Texas at least, you go into people's houses, they all got lamps. Everybody's got hurricane lamps. They're up on a shelf covered in dust. No oil, you know, no oil in them. You know, oh, it's grandma's trinket. Oh, well, you know, we got that from Aunt Sally. Oh, well, you know, we got this from Uncle whoever, you know. Oh, it's just a knick-knack. It's bric-a-brac nowadays. Because I found that there's a lot of fear about lamps.
I'm going to break in here because the chat room is hopping. There are a lot of people in the chat room. And someone said, use an oven mitt. The glass gets very hot, to which I replied, no, that is not so. You just need to know how. I will explain. So let me explain. When you need to clean your chimney while your lamp is burning and or refill while your lamp is burning, you need to pick the glass up from the bottom. And not the bulges part, but that little part that's like a little collar. It's just a little ring. It will not burn your finger. It's below the level of the heat, the burner, which is up inside it. Heat rises. It's never hot. It's not even, you know, notably warm. Am I right? Can I get a witness?
That is correct.
Pick it up. You pick it up. You hold it between your thumb and your first finger on your, well, I'm right-handed, so I'm my left-handed. Pick it up. Put it down on the table. Just sit it up upright. Just there it is. Now with my right hand, I take and I reach around with my entire right hand and unscrew the burner and pull it up with my right hand. Then I take the hold it with my left hand because I unscrew better with my right hand. I then hold it away from, but not dripping. I mean, the wick is still down there in the liquid with my left hand. And then I pour my fuel oil in past that wick and then tip that back up, put it back. It's on the right of my lamp, right? I then transfer the burner back to my right hand, screw it in. Now, while it's there, I can take my dry toilet paper, put my hand up inside my chimney, which has cooled by now, wipe my chimney clean, and with my right hand around that collar part of the thing, put it right back down. Is that about what you do, Professor Porterfield?
I do it a little differently. I do everything exactly as you described it, except I set my chimney to one side.
That's what I said. I set my chimney to the left, and I have my chimney's at the left.
Yes,
my fuel is at the right.
Exactly. And I do, and you know, again, folks, you do let it sit for a moment, like Miss Cat says, so that it does cool, because the very top of it is hot. But we're talking about the very top of it. And, of course, it's hot because, as Ms. Cat pointed out, and as we should have all learned basic physics, heat rises. But the other thing I will say is that if you take good care of your wick, you're not going to get a lot of smoking.
That's right.
You get a lot of smoking when you have too high a wick or when you have an untrimmed wick.
Right.
And so
that's one of the things that makes, if I can just jump in here real quick, and one of the things that makes lamp work so wonderful is that it is dynamic, that you're working the lamp, right? Lamps offer you certain things that candles don't. Candles are powerful. I love them. They're great. But I actually prefer working with lamps. One, because they can hold more materials. You can put full roots into a lamp. That's fantastic. I can work with a John the Conqueror root, a master root, with the lamp. But the other is the wick itself. Manipulation of the wick is control over the fire and the heat that you bring to the situation. Trimming the wick. So there's this active quality. You're constantly engaged with your work. You're constantly adding power to the work. You're constantly adding your prayers to the work. And you keep it going, and it builds this heat. And I would say that, yeah, well, some people have this idea of it being steady, that it actually builds momentum. And it gets more and more powerful, more and more stronger as time goes on. In particular, I think the manipulation of the wick lends itself to how you add heat. There is a time and place where you want that wick to be a little bit thicker or a little bit longer, flames to be a little bit higher. And yes, it may cause smoke or it may cause, but that adds some heat, that adds some pressure. And then other times you trim it and you keep it nice and low and you keep a steady flame going. So there is a conscious manipulation of the wick and the fire that lends itself into the type of work that you're doing, especially if you're doing it over long periods of time. You can choose, for example, that every morning and every night before you go to bed, you make the flame a little bit higher and you add heat to the work. And then throughout the day, you keep it trimmed with a low flame, a steady flame. Something to bear in mind when you're doing this type of work.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, the thing also about the work with lamps is that they need not be in one sort of realm, folks. You don't just have to have, oh, a love lamp, oh, a protection lamp. You know, you can do any kind of work with a lamp, and you can dedicate a lamp to any kind of work, and you can even do the exact opposite of the very fine advice that Conjure Man just gave you. In other words, take his advice and just turn it on its head, and instead you can start out to curse someone, or to take something away from someone, or to get rid of something by starting with a very powerful, very tall, and potentially smoking flame, and then slowly lower it, lower it, and lower it, and take away that heat, and take away that heat, and take away that light until you kill it, and it goes out. You can do both sides of that street, and that's another part of this that lends itself to this work that is so useful and utilitarian.
And you also use lamp work for any type of working, too. I mean, it's not, I think a lot of people consider positive workings with lamp workings, but my favorite type of breakup work is actually with a lamp. It's not
right.
Candle work. It's a lamp. It's a breakup lamp that I make. It's an open face lamp that I make, and I work it over 21 days, and I let the fire go out on the 21st day, and it's never failed to me yet.
Exactly. And as Ms. Kat just pointed out in the chat room, we have not only this in song, but we also have this appears in the Bible. And there's a lot of the trimming of the wicks and the wise and the foolish virgins. And trimming your wick is very, very important. A lot of people miss this, because if you don't keep your wick sharp, which is the technical term, although it seems strange, or I suppose you might say cutty, then your flame will smoke, and your flame will not be as clean, and it won't be as a nice a flame. And so you do want to trim your wick. But here's something that a lot of people overlook. You need not trim your wick straight across. That's the traditional method. You just take your wick, and you take something sharp. A pair of scissors is excellent. They need to be very sharp scissors. And you trim it straight across. But if you were to trim your wick at an angle, then you will get a different kind of flame. If you trim your wick so that it has three little triangles, three little points at either end and one in the middle, then your flame will be three little flames like a crown. You see, you can make a crown of fire. And so I'm sure that many people can think about, oh, wait, crown of fire. Boy, I could use that with crown of success. I could use that for this kind of work, for mastery, etc. You can change the shape of that flame by how you trim your wick. You can trim it into a straight point so it rises straight to the middle, and then you're going to get this very tall, almost pillar-like flame. So there's a lot of that, but I have detected that a lot of individuals do not want to engage in lamp work because there's a lot of brouhaha, a lot of humbuggery about how dangerous lamps are. And it's hogwash, folks. It's 10 pounds of hogwash in a 5-pound bag. It's just not true.
Actually, you know, seriously, candles are a lot more dangerous than lamps.
This is interesting. I have a question about this because I and both of you are more involved in the social media world and all that than I am. I haven't actually ever heard that lamp work is more dangerous. Is this something that's come out from Facebook or where is it? Like, because this is new to me.
I find it all over the world, not just in the internet. People in my shop, oh my God, you've got lamps. Oh my God, what if they fall over? Back in the I'll tell you where it comes from.
I blame Randolph Scott.
Randolph Scott. I was going to say it comes out of cowboy movies. There was if you're a person who watches old serial movies of the 30s and 40s and cowboy movies and even cowboy TV shows of the 50s. One of the things, there was this idea that if a kerosene lamp fell over, everything would catch on fire, and it would be a good thing for a cliffhanger. The fire is burning towards the dynamite, and that would be the end of the chapter. Or it would show that the little house would go up, the little cabin, and Rin Tin Tin would have to, you know, I mean, was it whatever, you know, the guys with the horses, the Indians would be circling, the flames. It was always used as a threat point. A mini climax. It was never the actual major climax, which was always shooting in the, you know, in these cowboy movies. But that's what it was, and you would see that the lamp would fall, and then but nothing. You know, I remember living. I lived without electricity and running water for about 15 years of my life. I was up at a commune called Tolstoy Peace Farm up in Washington, and a guy actually came with a gun. I think I've told this story on air before. A crazy guy with a gun decided to shoot up the place. He was actually a member of our commune. His girlfriend was playing a game of cards with another guy, and he decided that was just not to be had. And so he went and got a shotgun, and he shot, and he didn't kill anybody. He shot the lamp and shot through the ceiling and made a mess. And the lamp fell, and everybody screams because his lamp, all full of kerosene, falls to the ground, and then it went out.
That's right. Mm.
And we all were kind of like,
out.
What? Well, the reason it went out was because the wick drowned, you see?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it just, whoop, that was it. And that was this moment for me, and I realized that I had been really kind of, you know, I'd been watching Spin and Marty and Rawhide and Bonanza. I mean, you know, oh my gosh, you know, Have Gun Will Travel. I think every one of those shows, and, you know, not only that, Writers of the Bee-Barbie, whatever, they all have a scene in which the lamp falls over and the straw catches on fire. So,
someone throws the lamp against the wall and it explodes.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one, right. Yeah, the guy who picks up, they're having, Davey Steele, and they're having, the, you know, the stunt doubles are, you know, having this great fight, and they got they knock the table over, the guy is flipped over the table, he grabs the kerosene lamp with the wasted kind, you know, the little waist in it, looks like a lady's dress almost, or a corset,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he grabs it, and he hurls the lamp at the wall, and the whole thing goes, oh, man, yeah, totally bogus.
That's right. So interesting because I grew up with, and this is, I guess, it's just a cultural difference, right? I grew up with oil lamps, but we use a lot of olive oil lamps. And
mm-hmm.
In my family, like, there's no fear of them. In fact, we leave them on overnight. And on spiritual days, we, you know, on nights that are
sure.
holy or when we're holding vigils and whatnot, then, I mean, they'd still be all around the house. And they're made out of clay and they're made out of metals and they have little wicks. Cotton wicks and olive oils, and we much prefer those. Whereas candles, like, I always grew up with my mom going, don't leave candles on. Don't
right.
leave candles on. But never once did I ever hear anyone say, hey, be careful of the lamp.
Right,
that's
right.
What,
well,
that's,
but
that's
see,
very
thing.
Interesting.
In Judaism, we have these
right,
olive
right.
oil lamps for Hanukkah,
exactly.
right? Olive
yeah.
oil lamps.
Yeah.
Very safe. But when we went to the candles, they're all the little birthday candle size or little 4-inch chime candle
yeah.
size, and they burn out real quick. And the whole thing is kind of different than it, you know what I mean? It's a different
yeah.
procedure. But, yeah, part of it has to do with this, the whole theory that the city of Chicago, the Chicago fire was caused when...
I was just about to say, yes.
All right, you go
saying,
ahead and
say
it. This
is
O'Leary's
cow.
This is O'Leary's
cow. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Well, go ahead. Tell us about Mrs.
O'Leary. Well, no, absolutely. You're absolutely going exactly the same place. Good old Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicks over the lamp, right? Up goes Chicago. You
right.
know? That is part of the American mythology of fear, right? You know,
right.
all these lanterns are going to kill us. But I will point this out, and I think Kat will stand right next to me on this one. Do you honestly believe, folks, for a moment, that if lamps are this terrible, dangerous, you know, you've got to watch them, you've got to monitor them, one wrong move, you know, if Gene Autry comes in and shoots them, the whole place is going to go up in flames, right? Do you honestly believe that's the truth, that the American railroad industry, perhaps the largest industry in America at one point in America, from coast to coast and from top to bottom, would run trains with passengers, with goods, with straw, with cattle, with dynamite that they're transporting all over the country with hundreds of lanterns, lanterns on every train, lanterns on every boxcar, lanterns in every conductor's hand, in every engineer's hand. If they're that dangerous, you'd think there'd be no railroads left.
Right. I'm going to tell you something about Mrs. O'Leary's cow, and this is from Wikipedia, but I've read this elsewhere. After the Chicago Fire of 1871, which began in Mrs. O'Leary's barn, Catherine O'Leary was her name, and her barn did burn up, and it spread, and it did burn down a large part of Chicago. But the Chicago Tribune reporter, Michael Ahern, said that the fire had started in her barn when the cow kicked over the lantern while it was being milked. But in 1893, in other words, about 22 years later, Ahern admitted he had made the story up. And the official report said that they were unable to determine whether it was a spark from a chimney, because it was a windy night, or whether it was set by human agency. In other words, someone, an arsonist, set her barn on fire. She, Mrs. O'Leary, said she'd been in bed when the fire started, and she had no idea what set it out. She hadn't been milking her cow with a lantern or without a lantern. So there you go. And Ahern said he made it up, but that's the other one, at Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
That's right. But I know we're about to come up on our bumper music, and I just want to say quickly, folks, if a lot of folks have these lanterns and these lamps in their houses, go and find them. You can go to thrift stores and get them. Fill them up. Do stuff. Put flames in them. Use
that's right.
Lamps.
All right. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. And we'll be right back after this break to do one of our readings with someone who has signed up to have a free reading with our guests and get some root work advice.
All right, y'all, in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. We'll be right back, and we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to a host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client. And our first new client is calling in from South Florida, from 786. This is Gifted Empath. Gifted Empath, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Welcome to the show. And I see you're calling you're calling in from my old stomping ground, 786. And thank you for tuning in to us for the last 2 months. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that that you have not yet gone to any of their members of AIR, and that this is your first time certainly calling into our into the show, okay?
Yes.
And
yes,
she writes,
thank you.
Need help with root work? Boyfriend is due for a transfer in federal prison to come closer to home, and he's fighting for his sentence to be reduced from 18 years to 9 years. This is his ninth year. He was sentenced unjustly for a weapons charge, but he has gotten into an altercation and may have to jeopardize his transfer. What can I do to help him calm and to make this process happen as smoothly and as soon as possible? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, thank you for trusting us with this opportunity to read for you. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. What sign of the zodiac is the man?
I'm Scorpio.
Okay. Well, Scorpios are hard to work on. I don't know if you know, you call yourself gifted empath, so I presume you know a little bit about this kind of work. Okay?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
If not much, you might even know a much. the thing is, Scorpios have a very strong willpower, and they are hard to influence, just saying what I'm going to say. Now, having said that, some of the best ways to influence Scorpios is through, appealing to their desire to accomplish things in an undercover way. So it may be partly psychological as to, you know, but they do have a lot of pride, and getting into an altercation, they won't back down. They are, if you've ever seen scorpions, you know, they're
so true.
A,
very true.
I'm just sitting here nodding my head going, amen.
They'll sting themselves to death before they'll be defeated. And if you've ever seen the movie The Wild Bunch, just watch the first 5 minutes of The Wild Bunch, and you'll understand Scorpios real well. Okay, so he's got a problem of his own. In other words, it's not just a magical problem. All right, I'm going to read three cards here.
Okay.
First card I have is he does have a problem, and this card is the Seven of Wands. This shows him trying to maintain himself on a little bit of a bluff or outcropping, a little cliff, and below him there are people coming at him with other wands, poking at him. Mm-hmm. They are, the wands stand for fire, they are trying to inflame him. He was not prepared for some of what's happened. The wrongful weapons charge and then the altercation, these things came up on him without preparation. And the reason I say that is the man in the picture has on one shoe and one boot, unprepared for the assault. And that is an issue that's a problem for him. Now, the next card is a card that says we do have some hope here to get this sentence reduced. It's not a foregone conclusion, but we do have the card of the Hierophant. And the Hierophant is a church authority figure, could be any kind of authority figure, who gives blessings. He gives blessings to two different men. One is got roses on him, on his chasuble, and the other has lilies. These are the garments that they wear. And he also has a bunch of little crosses on his clothing, and he has two keys at his feet, one key to bind and one key to loosen. Now, at this point, I'm going to ask you, because this is a religious figure, do you have a religion?
Well, he does. He practices Santeria.
Santeria. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, hon?
Well, I was Christian, but I'm like a free-for-all right now. I'm searching. So
when you say you were Christian, may I ask, were you Catholic or Protestant?
Baptist.
Baptist. All right. So Baptist, and he's in Santeria. Okay. Well, I look at this, and I think, you know, because the reason I mentioned it is, if you were a Catholic, I'd have given you St. Raymond or someone who opens the keys to the prisoners. You see what I'm saying? But you're not a Catholic. It ain't going to fly with you. So you're Baptist. So I would, in that case, just work with the idea of getting God to help, right, or getting Jesus to help. Santeria, I'm sure, has its own opener of the way, and we're going to, you know, you're going to talk to some Santeria practitioner. That's their business to choose what that is. But what I'm seeing here is that it is possible, but it will take religious work. Okay. I'm not going to give you a spell. That's going to be someone else to do. But I'm seeing a religious aspect to this. It is possible. Okay? And the third card I have here is a card that says that you are involved in this very heavily. I guess I have to ask at this point, what's your sign of the zodiac?
Cancer.
Cancer, because that's good. That's good, because the lady I got is the Queen of Cups. And I should have jumped and said, are you a water sign? but I didn't. But Queen of Cups is a woman who is... Oh, that's why you called yourself an empath, of course. Cancerians are very psychic, and this is a Queen of Cups. She's sitting looking at a golden goblet with a lid on it, and she's looking right inside and can see, reading people's minds, reading people's hearts. She has water spirits around her, little mermaid angel babies. She has a golden crown. So you are important here too. In other words, the work you do will be important to help him, and you should stay in touch with him spiritually. The problem is his irrationality. The Seven of Wands says he's easily set off in a defensive mode. He needs to have that calmed. Any kind of cooling water ceremonies or, of course, you can't bathe him, but any kind of thing that has a meditative or watery quality would be of help toward him. But a religious figure is the key. All right, so that's my take on it. Let's turn this over to Professor Porterfield.
Hi, Professor.
Hello.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi.
It's so nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have laid out three cards as well, and as you may or may not know, I read playing cards rather than tarot cards. But the three cards I have here are in very interesting agreement with Miss Cat's reading. The central card, which is the first card I read from, that I have here is the Ten of Spades. Now, this isn't really a terribly good card generally. You know, it's not like, oh, happiness and light, Ten of Spades. Everybody knows spades are just, you know, sunshine and candy. No, the Ten of Spades is sadness, darkness, grief, and he is under a lot of pressure right now. This tells me he's probably very depressed currently. And also it tells me that he is in an embattled position. The question I have for you is, was he ever in the military?
No, he was not in the military.
Okay, he has not previously been in the military. The card that sits immediately to the right of my Ten of Spades is the King of Spades. And the King of Spades is the soldier. And this is a judgmental or harsh man. And this, along with that Ten of Spades, the way these two cards are working together tells me that he, as Miss Cat is saying, he's lashing back out, okay? He is in an embattled position. People are coming up on him. He's getting in fight, okay? He's battling. And that battling is not working for him. Okay, that battling is actually taking him into a worse place. But because of the situation that he's in, because he is in prison, because it's not, you know, just a fun day in the park, he is having to defend himself. He is having to take that. And what he's happened here is he is, quote, soldiered up. Okay, he is basically put himself in the position of, I am in battle. These people are going to come at me. I have to protect myself. And so it's a very sharp sword because he must protect himself from the rest of the population and the problems he's having there. But those who are looking at him are seeing that he is behaving this way. And they're not seeing him as that positive aspect of the King of Spades that we're speaking about, which is that he has soldiered up. They're seeing him in the negative aspect of that King of Spades, that he is basically violent, that he's striking out, that he's capricious, etc. Now, to the left of our Ten of Spades, we have the Four of Hearts. So this, again, is perfectly in line with what Miss Cat said. Here we have the Four of Hearts. The Four of Hearts is the marriage bed, the matrimonial bed, the house, the home, the table. of love and of having someone. And in this position, it talks about his inner life. So this is clearly addressing you. And this is what's going on in the outer world, okay? And this card talks about fidelity, tenderness, and love back at home, okay? So this, what Miss Cat told you about you being his ally in this, is correct. And I will go a little bit further in this and say that you said, okay, I used to be Baptist, and now I'm kind of searching on my little journey or whatever. I would recommend to you that you use on his behalf the 27th Psalm, that's Psalm 2-7, the 27th Psalm, which has been called before in the past the Prisoner's Psalm, okay? And that also you can use Psalm 119, and in particular of Psalm 119, you can use verse 45 in that for you to aid him. Because what you're trying to do here, if I understand, is you're trying to get him transferred to where he'll be a little closer to home. Okay?
Yes.
And so what we need here is we're not going to attain liberation in this. We're not going to, oh, they're just going to let him out. You know, hey, you can just go home. Screw it. You know, whatever. You've still got however many years. We'll just call it even. But what we are looking for here is to influence those people that are over him to see that he is not a capriciously violent man, okay? That he is not a capriciously violent man who is a threat to the population, that he can be trusted, and therefore he is worthy of being transferred to a different facility that may not be as severe or locked down a facility. So you use those two psalms in that, but you are definitely his main spiritual ally in this. And I would also recommend that you say to him, when you speak to him, to see if there is someone within the system there, meaning do they have a on-staff a clergyman or anything of that might speak on his behalf? Is there a Santeria outreach in his prison that somebody comes in and talks to them that could write a letter on his behalf? Or, you know, anybody like the chaplain of the prison who might, you know, speak on his behalf, that sort of thing as well.
And yeah, that's what I'm seeing, too, with that Hierophant. Getting a chaplain to help it would be very important. Also, those keys. Let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali and see what he can do. And I know he's going to do something with keys. I can...
Yes, you're absolutely
right. Thank you so much.
There is what I would recommend in this case is kind of a two-part work. One, to keep him cool, and the other part, to help with his situation while he's in prison. And part of this can be helping the transfer. I also do get an impression that you can shave off a few years here. Well, Professor Porterfield is right, that they're not just going to go, okay, you're right, you can go now. But you can work towards mercy and leniency and kind of work towards it, towards getting him released a little bit earlier. And for that, I recommend, to cover all of that, I would recommend some type of lamp work, especially since we were talking about lamps earlier in the show. So what I want you to do is first, to keep him cool, take his photo and place it under a cup of water. So you're going to have a surface that you're going to work on. This can be an altar. This can be a tabletop. This can be a counter that you dedicate the kind of this situation, you're going to work on it. You're going to keep on this counter a photo of his under a cup of water, and you're going to keep that water fresh. Every day, you're going to pour that water out, and you're going to put in new water. And this is to keep him cool. Now, you're going to use that water to speak to him. You're going to be there for him spiritually, even when you can't be there for him physically. So you're going to look through the water at his photo, and you're going to call out his name. You're going to say, so-and-so, I want you to remain calm. I want you to remain cool. Don't let these people get to you. Know that you're not alone, that you have people with you. And you're going to do that daily. And Kat in the chat said that she recommends laminating the photo. I absolutely agree with you. Whenever I use a photo, that I'm going to use a photo for a long period of time, I generally laminate it. And I put a little personal concern in there as well, like a little piece of hair. I'll laminate that all together, and then I'll use that photo over and over again in my work. So look through that glass, through the water, into the photo, and work. And while you've done that, while you're doing that, you should have a lamp going. Now, you can create this in a kerosene lamp if you prefer, in the tradition of Santeria, as well as in the African rest of the African diaspora traditions, or in the Middle East tradition, open-face lamps are another way of doing what Dr. Yachtin calls rustic lamps. He either will make it in the mason jar, or you can make it in a bowl with a wick made out of cotton of some sort. It's entirely up to you which you prefer. One is a little bit easier to maintain. The kerosene lamps are a little bit easier to maintain. So just it's entirely up to you. What you're going to do is you're going to go and see if you can find an ancestor of his, right? Go to a graveyard nearby that his ancestor may be buried at, if you have access to it, okay? And you're going to call upon this ancestor or deceased family member for their aid. You're going to say, look, your descendant, your family member, is in a dangerous situation, and he needs your help more than ever. This is the spiritual ally. In addition to a physical priest or a hierophant figure, we also want to bring in a spiritual figure that will walk with him invisibly. And so you're going to bring this ancestor, and you're going to gather a bit of graveyard dirt from this ancestor. You leave a few coins, and you gather the dirt. And what you're going to do is you're going to incorporate that into the lamp work. Just a pinch of that dirt. I don't want you to put so much in there that it kills the lamp. You're going to put a pinch of the dirt in there. You're going to put an angelical root in there for protection from with helpful spirits. You're going to put Althea in there. I want you to put a bay leaf, which is going to keep his mind cool and collected. I want you to put a pinch of tobacco in there for court case matters, a little bit of sumac in there. I want you to take a skeleton key. You can find these small ones at craft stores. I think Lucky Mojo also has skeleton keys, if I'm not mistaken, to purchase from them. And you're going to put that in there.
I'm sorry, hon. You said elephant key?
Skeleton.
Skeleton.
Okay. Skeleton. Okay.
It's a kind of the old-fashioned kind of key that has a little prong at the end.
Yeah. I prefer those in those type of books. So you're going to put that in there. Now, Professor Porterfield mentioned some psalms, and they're absolutely great. I'm going to give you two other ones that help in this situation. His are very clearly prisoner psalms. They're old-timey work, very powerful. There's two other ones that are often used to help or gain an early release and also protect. One is Psalm 67, and one is Psalm 71. Both of those are used in the medieval psalmic tradition help with prisoners. Now, you're going to write those psalms out. Okay, you're going to write them out on a piece of paper. Then you're going to take another photo of his, and you're going to place it in there and put a dollop of honey. Just a dollop, a small dollop, okay? Again, you're not using a lump, you're not drenching the entire thing. It's going to go into the lamp. Then you fold this up and you place this into the lamp. Now, again, if you have an open face lamp, this can all fit very easily. If you have a kerosene lamp, you're going to be a little bit more careful. Use smaller paper, use less, a pinch of dirt, etc. And you're going to put this all in the lamp, and you're going to light the lamp with prayers. And you want to recite, additionally to writing there, you want to recite the psalms that Professor Porterfield gave, as well as the psalms that I have given, over this lamp. And you're going to keep this lamp going steady, adding more oil to it. You can add a little bit of court case oil on there, a little bit of protection oil as well. And you're going to keep it going daily as you work for the cup. And you can keep that going up until you get the release.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck with it.
Question.
Well, you're not going to be able to get
so
it
much.
Now. You're going to call back some other time. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. We brought to you every Sunday my co-host, Conjure Manali, and today our special guest is Professor Porterfield. This is Cat Ironwood, and I've been doing this show for a long time, and I want to say, everybody who listens, thank you all these years. Where's Miss Tammy Lee? Uh-oh. Where's Miss Tammy Lee? Have we lost her? Have we lost me?
Support for
no,
y'all
you're still
can
here.
Hear me? Y'all can you hear me?
Yes, now
I'm
we
sorry.
Can.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of problems with the phones today. Support for this program. Here we go. Support for this program. is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and or the queue, and we will be taking someone from area code, I believe, 360. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to the show. And basically, I have your question and or challenge in front of me, and you write. Or your question is, will my luck be changing for better here shortly? That's basically what I have. Or changing, you've been through a lot of challenges here, and you'd like to know if it will be turning around here shortly for you. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So Ollie is going to be the first person to read for you, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Tanya,
okay.
When you say that you've been through a long period of challenges, I want to put this in some sort of, perspective. About how old are you?
42,
okay. And about how long have you been having difficulties in life?
Well, I've been having difficulties all my life. They've just been really difficult the last year.
Okay, so You've had a stressful life, but this last year things just went south.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. And what is your sign of the zodiac?
Gemini.
A Gemini. All right, 42-year-old Gemini. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Countryman Ollie, and he'll do the first reading.
Thank you, Ms. Kat.
Sure, Tanya. I'm very happy to do this reading for you. Now, I have a question of my own. When you say, is my luck going to turn around, do you just mean luck in general, or are you looking for something specific, like are you going to get lucky in love, lucky in your career, or is it just
in general?
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. I have pulled three cards here, and I'm going to go over them with you. The very first card I have is the Two of Swords. The Two of Swords shows a young individual, a woman sitting down on a bench, and she is blindfolded, very similarly to the figure of Justice. And she has her arms crossed with swords in those hands. And it's a very bleak and barren background behind her. And there is a moon that is shining down. This is the card of being stuck in a situation without knowing whether to move forward, to let go of the past, or what to do. You are blindfolded, meaning you don't see the path ahead of you clearly. Hence why you're getting this reading here. And you're stuck at this crossroads, unable to kind of let go of some of the struggles that you have had to deal with and you've had to carry with you. But you're also afraid of what the future might hold. Will it hold more difficulties? The Two of Swords is a swords card, which by its nature is a bit hard. It's a bit difficult, painful. What's interesting about this is that I would say, in addition to the readings that you get here, I would highly recommend that you get some type of astrological reading just to check things out. I am getting an impression from spirit that there may be something more going on. If you've struggled in your life for a long period of time and then you notice uptick in that over the past year, something may be going on astrologically. And you can go to the Readers and Rootworkers site, and there's various astrologers on there who will be more than happy to give you a reading. They can take a look at your chart. They can see what's going on there. See if there's maybe something going on with Saturn, something going on in your life. But double check that. Definitely get that done. The next card that I have is the Emperor. The Emperor is an older man sitting on a throne made of stone, and it's got the figures of Aries around him. He's got a scepter and globe in his hand. It's a symbol of domination, and he's up high on the mountaintops. This is about your life turning around, but it isn't going to turn around shortly. It's going to take some time. The Emperor is above a king, but he had to work his way up to that point. He doesn't start off as an emperor. He doesn't inherit his role. He's not born to it in ease. And the Emperor here is a very stern figure. It means that
you're going to have to kind of tough through the struggles, push through the difficulties. But the end result is that you will be in a better situation and you will conquer and overcome those difficulties. But it's going to take time. I don't see it turning around quickly. It may take maybe even a year or so longer. And the final card that I have is the Strength card, also an indication of victory and success, but one that will require for you to draw on your inner reserves. Here we have a beautiful woman, a powerful woman with an infinity symbol over her head. She has garlands of flowers on as a crown and as her waist, and she is using her hands to close the mouth of a lion or to tame a lion. In the traditional image, this is actually an image of Heracles, but it is over the years transformed into the figure of a woman garbed in white. This means that you're going to have to draw upon your inner reserves of strength. It's not about fighting through these difficulties. It's not about, you know, going out there and punching life in the face. It's about preserving. It's about calling upon spiritual strength. It's about calling upon patience, about weathering the storm. Doing spiritual work, getting in touch with your own spirituality, working with the ancestors, as well as tapping into your own reserves of power are going to be really, really helpful for you, immensely useful for you. I would highly recommend doing an astrological reading. And when it comes to root work, something revolving around Queen Elizabeth Ruth to kind of help you through this. But know that the overall answer is yes, you will, your luck is going to change, but it's not going to change in a short period of time. It's not going to happen right around the corner. It's on the horizon. It's coming, but you still have some struggles ahead of you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to jump in here because the mention of astrological just made me want to say something. 42 years is a number that astrologers, you know, their ears prick up. It's half of a Uranus cycle. And it's exactly half. And so the Uranus is right now opposed to your natal Uranus. Without knowing what's up on your chart, we wouldn't know what that means for you, but it's an opposition and it is a time of stress. So I'm just throwing that out as a little key. If you go to an astrologer, ask how, being 42, how your Uranus opposition to your natal Uranus is affecting your chart. All right, but let's turn this over to Charles for a reading, okay?
Hi, Professor Good Porterfield.
Afternoon. Hello, Tanya. I'm so glad to talk to you this afternoon.
It's
I have
an
a
honor.
Quick question. Oh, well, thank you. I have a quick question to ask you before I get into the three cards that I'm looking at here. Are you currently in a relationship with anyone?
Yes, I've been married 15 years.
Okay. Now, the first card that I see in front of me here is the Two of Hearts, okay? Now, the Two of Hearts is the lovebirds, a couple together, okay? And it's very much about that couple and their strengths, but sometimes about how those strengths can turn against them. But I did get some clarification on that, and I see that right now your partner may be somewhat trying to you, but your partner is also very much a source of strength for you and of aid to you in the turnaround out of this situation with your luck. Okay?
Good.
So you need to examine that. Now, the problem here is, again, that can go either or, meaning it can be that your partner can be that great and wonderful person who's there in your life to aid you and help uplift you, or it may mean that what you need to do here is cut free, okay, to get them out of your life. Now, immediately to the right of our Two of Hearts, we have the Queen of Diamonds. So the Queen of Diamonds suggests that there is some problems going on with your relationship, okay, and that you are having some troubled feelings. The Queen of Diamonds does suggest a straying eye, okay, dissatisfaction. And so you need to start to consider that that Queen of Diamonds may be talking to you about the fact that part of what's going on with you is some of the trouble at home in your own life, okay?
Okay.
And I'll be quite honest with you, that the name that I call the Queen of Diamonds is the Mistress, okay? So I'll leave you to contemplate that in its depth. Internally, to the left of our Two of Hearts, we have the Seven of Hearts. And the Seven of Hearts is about too much of a good thing, too many emotions, but it also suggests false friends. So you do need to be, again, very careful of those you're seeking counsel with in your immediate inner life, your close friends, your close associates, your mate, okay? And also you need to be aware that you have too many irons in the fire emotionally, okay? You're being torn in too many directions. And so you need to kind of stop and take a breath and start to put your little ducks in a row, okay? Because some of what's going on with your life is that there's this turmoil that's going on, and it's mounting up. It's redoubling and doubling down and redoubling and doubling down again and again and again until you're starting to feel very much torn in many directions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your question, though, was, will this come to an end? And I do see that this will come to an end. I see that it will come to an end. I did go a fourth card because I wanted a little more clarification on that. And what I have here is the Eight of Diamonds. And although this normally speaks of a financial windfall, here with these other cards adjusting it, I see it being an adjustment of meaning a windfall to your luck. So that meaning a unexpected change about money, help, and aid. But this is very much the card of a beneficiary, of someone else who comes in and aids you. And so I would agree with what Ali has said in his reading. You do need to go out and get yourself some counselor from someplace else. You need to find perhaps that astrologer to see if you can see the extra information that you need to know. As Ali and Miss Kat talked about, this may simply be part of an astrological cycle that's going on, but you're going to need to seek someone else. But please remember that that's going to be modified by that Seven of Hearts, because it goes in that line, 7-8, okay? So we have that progression there. Make sure to pick a trustworthy individual. Don't necessarily go to someone that might be a false friend. But that benefactor is going to come in and is going to aid you, and you're going to see a resolution to this. And I would suggest that probably that resolution will be, before September.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, well, I've been given the job of putting some root work out for you, but I want to go back to that 42 and the half the Uranus cycle here. We're not trying to push you off and say we can't read it, but what we're all seeing is it's a matter of timing. It is not a curse. That's, none of us have seen a curse. It seems to be astrological, and it may have something to do with Uranus. Uranus being sometimes referred to as the higher octave of Mercury, Mercury being a ruler of Gemini. There is a connection between Uranus and Gemini. That's a subtle one. And Geminis are sometimes... when Uranus is not behaving nicely, Geminis and Aquarians are affected pretty strongly. So just and Libras to a lesser extent. So there's something going on there, and I would love to have an astrologer read on it, because I'm sure we're going to see some sort of little thing, and then you could get the timing as to when it ends. But what I'm going to do is say, let's say we put astrology to one side, and I'm going to give you some root work advice about changing luck. So among the things that are used to change luck, probably the most fabulous is Vanvan oil. And it can be used many ways. You can make a bath crystals out of Vanvan, and we make and sell it, or you can use the oil and drop a few drops of oil into a bath. It's similar to Chinese wash, which people use to clean a house with. Some people will actually use Chinese wash in the bath. No reason not to. It's just as sanitary as can be. But what I'm looking for is something with those Vanvan grasses in it. And I happen to love Vanvan as a sprinkle. Depending on whether your home is carpeted, you can use Chinese wash. But you could also just take Vanvan bath crystals and sprinkle them out into the rug and then vacuum them up again. There's many ways that you can work with this sort of stuff. I'd like you to use Vanvan or Chinese wash to cleanse yourself. Now, I also feel that based on the cards that we've gotten here, that this is somewhat temporary. You say you've had trouble all your life, And that may be, again, a matter of your chart, but something is exacerbating enough that you're calling in now. And this has been this last year. And I want to see a turnaround, at least back to your former steady state, before we can get some life change. Okay, we don't want to go downhill. We want to get everything back kind of to what your average set point is. So I would like you to work with trying to use some sort of a thing that you carry on you or wear. A talisman of any kind that appeals to you would be a good one. Any kind of lucky talisman, since we're talking about luck. And the problem here, and Ollie pointed this out, is that we are sensing there's something, some affliction on your birth chart. Not a curse. It's an affliction on your birth chart. And it seems to be just holding up for this year. So a lucky talisman of any sort would be useful. Dress it with Van oil. I tend to like talismans that speak to the condition of the greatest need. If it's love, then use a love talisman. If it's money, use a money talisman. If it's a luck, use a luck talisman. You can find anything, and you can empower really anything. I've seen people empower a wedding ring to be a luck talisman because it's what they wear all the time. But dress the talisman with Van oil.
And, can I get that through your store?
Yeah, we sell it. Yeah, we sure
okay.
do. Madam Samantha said something funny in chat. She said we should take up a collection and blow Uranus up. Well, I'm actually gonna say no to that, and I'll tell you why. I have Uranus rising in Gemini. Uranus is my lead planet, and it makes me the fun-loving, eccentric, bohemian,
and also
hippie,
psychic.
Hippie that I am. So I'm all in favor of, I love Uranus. It's a great planet if it's well aspected. Mine happens to be trine my moon, and there's a lot of good things going on. But I'm just saying, it makes me a good astrologer too. So Uranus has its place, but it is a capricious planet, and it does have a way of acting that is confusing to a lot of people. Someone here said a special fire opal ring and Van oil. Yeah, fire opal's great. I mean, and Uranus goes with any kind of sparkly, shiny. I mean, it's just, you know, you're not going to get a uranium talisman, right? Because that's its metal. We're not going with uranium. But any kind of
I'd be sparkly, shiny.
Yeah, a sparkly, shiny, nice-looking thing. And wear that. And dress it with Van oil and wear it for luck. I'm seeing here that this may not be something that's going to be with you all the time, but what you are going to want is to try to get a chart done. Does anybody else have anything to kick in on this?
No, that sounds absolutely appropriate to me.
Yeah.
I would just add one thing that I think that Kat's idea of getting kind of a lucky amulet going is perfect. And if you work with an astrologer, you can even do it so that you time the working. It doesn't need to be anything overly complex with electional astrology, but something that's ideally timed that matches what's going on in the chart, because I'm sensing there's something going there. You can add that to your work, whether it's the phases of the moon, whether it's the moon being a certain sign, or if it's a little bit more complex than that. You can time the blessing and consecrating of that amulet astrologically so you can capture the right energies that you need. And if you add just that little tweak there, I think it really can be a big turn off for you.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend a couple of people who do astrological work who are in air. One is Professor Ames. Another one is Deacon Millett. Conjurman Ollie does this stuff too. And I'm sure there are others who will work with you astrologically, because we all got the same reading on it. It's a your stars are crossed right now. That's what's going on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
all
right. so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Okay. All right. Well, that does it for our reading section. We're going to come back and we're going to have a free spell after our announcements. You're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, longest running hoodoo show in the universe. I'm your host, Kat Ironwood. My co-host is Conjurman Ollie. And, of course, we have our special guest, Professor Porterfield.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Magical Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7. Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30. And On Sacred Ground with Kai Arman, Saturdays, noon to 3. All times Pacific at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And y'all, now it's time for our free spell section, and with Professor Porterfield, professorporterfield.com, and in Denton, Texas. And take it away, Professor Porterfield.
Thank you so much, Miss Sammy Lee. Well, our topic today was conjure lamps, and so I'm going to give you a little work to use, a lamp you can make for yourself. And this lamp is for gambling luck. So whether you are playing with cards, shooting with dice, or picking numbers, you can make yourself a potent gambling lamp using the following items. First, you're going to go and get yourself a lamp, an oil lamp, to do this. And you can purchase a lamp oil at most craft stores, Walmarts, and places like that for that. You don't need any particular coloring for this, so we're not going to worry about that. But if you do happen to find green oil lamp, go ahead and use that. Then, from a new deck of cards, you will get the Seven of Hearts, the Seven of Diamonds, and the Seven of Clubs. And you will dress each of those cards with a little bit of Hoyt's cologne, dressing each card in that old five-spot pattern, a little bit on each corner and a little bit right in the middle. Then you're going to get a pair of bone dice, a rabbit's foot, and a mercury dime. And you're going to dress all three of those with a little bit of Van Van oil. Finally, you're going to get a lucky hand root, a buckeye nut, and a bit of Irish moss. And you're going to dress each of those with just a little few drops of whiskey. You're going to take all of these items except the rabbit's foot, and you're going to put them into the font of your well. Once they're in the font of your well, you're going to take your wick, and on your wick, with a Sharpie or another such indelible pen, you're going to write out on that wick, actually right on the wick, bring me luck and bring me winning. Then you will put your lamp all together. You're going to take your rabbit's foot, you're going to wrap a little bit of twine or green thread around it and tie it to the outside of your lamp, because we don't want to put our precious little rabbit's foot in all that oil. He's been so kind to give us his foot to begin with. We don't want to then drown him. And you're going to tie that to the outside of your lamp around the collar, which when you tie it, you're going to tie it with 9 knots. After you finish that, you will light your lamp. Whenever you go out to play, so if you go out to the casino, if you're going to go out to play cards with friends, if you're going to go out to buy your lottery ticket, you'll light your lamp before you do so and pray the fourth psalm over it and leave it lit while you are out gaming. If, on the other hand, you're playing the lottery or numbers, you're going to take your lottery cards and take the numbers that you've played, waiting for the winnings to be announced, you're going to bring it home and set them under your lamp while it burns. And finally, I will say this. If you ever do any work with a lamp, including this kind of a lamp, and you want to keep that work secret, not only from people in your house, but from other individuals in the world, or you want your magical work to be hidden, do not get yourself a glass lamp. Get yourself an old-style metal lamp that can't be seen into to help keep your lamp work secret. And that's it for me this week.
Wow. Okay. Now, I know I was typing just as fast as I could, and we missed a couple of things. Can you possibly post a list of all those things that are... Oh, it looks like Papa Newt has been trying to follow along behind us, too. He did pretty well.
Yes, I'll post it up into the chat room.
All right, Papa. But yeah, post it in the chat room. Thank you, because we'd like a permanent record of that. And Papa Newt, thank you so much. He's our great guy. You know, that guy just types faster than anybody on Earth. I can't
like
even...
Like the wind.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Now, I'm gonna go into something here about the metal lamp, because you
yes.
brought up something here, the old-fashioned metal lamp. Those are hard to get nowadays. Everyone wants the glass lamps because they seem so nostalgic, but you can find metal lamps, kerosene lamps, on eBay. And just type in kerosene lamp, metal, and you'll find them. They're there, right? I mean, it's and no one can see inside of it. You can also make a lamp that you cover, and I can tell you there are ways that this is done. Depending on the kind of glass reservoir you have, you can cover it, paint it, or in other ways enclose or unbox it. And I've seen that done, too, so that you don't look inside. Okay? Just aluminum foil, for starters.
Absolutely.
Would work. Okay.
That would work very well.
And there are also, and as Nishka says, there are opaque glass lamps too. And these are available also. Metal lamps are available in sporting goods and camping stores, says Alchemical Artisans Hour. So there you go. Those are, that's
you
an
You can also
excellent...
find them at... Sorry, you can also find them at antique retailers or online. I would actually, personally, I prefer the antique, just because aesthetically they're quite pleasing for me.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that to me too, and many of us, the antique lamps just have a certain beauty to them. And, oh my gosh, Christine Pappas is also posting this complicated thing. And Nagashiva said, you Tauruses love antiques. That is so true.
True.
Well, we Capricorns also love antiques. So.
I think all Earth signs love antiques.
Yeah.
We like things that have been around for a while.
I usually get emails from or Facebook messages from Kat when she finds really cool Middle Eastern antiques on eBay. And they quickly buy them up.
Well, you know, the name of my next book that's going to be is called Antiques for Hoodoo. Right? No, just kidding. It'll be a you know, how to use antiques in hoodoo. I think half of what I do in hoodoo is antique anyway. That's kind of
well,
my style.
Well, the spell was a little complex, but, you know, I wanted to cover something that would help them with anything
it's
they want to do.
It's beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful traditional work, and I thank you so much.
Yeah, I love it.
Really great spell, and it's going to be a help to a lot of people. Again, just one other little thing. If you put those lottery tickets under there while you're waiting for the announcement, some people want to keep them nice and fresh, put them in a little envelope or something like that. You don't want any damage to them because you want to be able to claim them later. All right. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out of here.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our special guest member for mayor this week. And we invite you to tune in next week, y'all, when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. And he'll be speaking about activism and root work. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. And thank you, Professor Porterfield, for being our guest. As always, a brilliant show.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
And thank you, Conjurman Ollie, my faithful co-host. And
always a pleasure.
And co-conspirator. And I'm just going to throw out a couple of little ideas here. We've been talking about activism, and next week's show will be about activism. How about you all start these lamps and do a lamp for light and justice? Think about ways you can work on something like that for the community. It's something that we'd all love it if we'd all get together and do. Post your pictures on Facebook, and we'll all take a look. All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.